it out here. Okay. Erica, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You don't know what happened the last hour.
No, what did I miss?
Oh, it was horrible. The iPad would not connect with Todd and in the studios here, and at one point I was on the telephone doing the first half hour, I don't know, first 40 minutes, and not on the mic. And you can go ahead and double hear her again, Todd, if you want. She's still way down here on my end, and I'm pretty well maxed. No, I was actually under the desk in the equipment trying to reboot the modem. That didn't do anything. And then I tried to get the iPad to, I was going to recycle it. It refused to shut off. All I got was Siri asking if she could do anything to help me. And I almost told her, but I didn't. Yeah, it's all the way up. Yeah, it's maxed right now, 100%. She's better. Say something, Erica. Say, what a nice day it was today.
What a nice day it was today.
Yeah, she's about half normal volume now. So, but I am maxed. Okay. All right. I think we're enough. As long as your output is okay there, we're fine. I can hear her. Now, let's look at this statement by Biden. Not too closely, because the subhuman, in quasi-animate object repulses me. I don't even like to read his alleged text. He is saying that the pandemic is now over. He's pronounced the pandemic to be over. Now, I don't know what the hell that means, except that's what he said. And I don't know if you've seen much on it at all. But the pandemic is suddenly over. What does that mean? Does that mean the new bivalent booster is now useless, hopeless, and won't be given to anybody? What does this mean? Or are they going to continue to tell people to get your shots? We can't have it come back on us. I don't know. Have you heard anything?
I heard what you heard. I mean, none of this surprises me. I mean, it was kind of a manufactured pandemic to begin with, so they determine when it starts and when it ends.
Exactly.
And it achieved their goal. I mean, the goal was to get people to demand a vaccine, you know, make life so unpleasant for people that they would demand it, or, you know, put the fear of God into them that if they don't get it, they're going to die. And it worked. They must have hit a certain number of, you know, vaccinated takers.
You're leading perfectly into where I was going to suggest we go. And this picture of him I'm looking at does not look like this. I swear to God they could have two or three doubles of this guy with these latex masks now.
Oh, yeah.
They are so extraordinarily perfect in their colorations, the way the musculature under the face makes the latex move right with it. It's just really remarkable stuff. All right, here, let me just read a little bit of this. Biden's remarks were made apparently on 60 Minutes last night. All right, let me see here. White House officials spent the better part of this year plotting a delicate step-by-step process they hoped would guide the U.S. out of its pandemic era. What a mouthful of crap that is, just for openers. One element that was not part of that plan, President Joe Biden, unelected, illegal. If you've ever seen treason in a country anywhere on the planet, you're seeing it here, just coming out and saying it. I wonder if he had a little short circuit in and amongst what's left of his brain. And he said it. The pandemic is over, Biden said in a 60 Minutes interview, which was pre-recorded, and they could have clipped it out, but they didn't, that aired Sunday night. We still have a problem with COVID, says the creeper. We're still doing a lot of work on it, said the creeper, but the pandemic is over. The declaration surprised the president's own senior health officials, many of whom only learned about Biden's remarks from tweets and news bulletins. The president had not originally planned to make major news on COVID, nor had he discussed with his health advisors announcing an end to the fake pandemic anytime soon, so said two senior White House officials. When the White House reviewed a transcript of his comments after the interview, which was taped earlier this week, I told you, it did not alert its COVID team. The White House stayed mum, leaving the administration without a coordinated response for the immediate aftermath. In the hours since, health officials have privately and sarcastically applauded themselves, health officials, for a job well done. After 20 months of round-the-clock work, they joked, all it took to end a once-a-century crisis was for Biden to declare it finished. Ha ha. Others argued that the time had officially come for such a declaration, that the virus is in a manageable state. What's his new booster? And Biden was simply putting in blunt terms where his administration has long been headed. God, what a bunch of bullshit this is. Excuse me. It's nonstop.
Yep. It's theater.
Oh, is it ever? I don't understand. I don't understand what they're shooting this guy up with or what they're giving him to enable him to act semi-coherent at times and read his teleprompter and look almost pensive at times. I don't get it. We know he was handed a vial which looked like adrenochrome, blood, at the airport in broad daylight,
yeah.
And he stuck it up his sleeve. So I guess, all right, here's the deal. Now, when we began reporting to you way back when, it was said that about 80% of the public in this country, after the first 6 months or so, had taken the shot, the first shot. And many of them took their second and their third. And some are heading for six now, their sixth shot, and they're still somehow alive. What we have been pounding on the last several weeks is shedding. Shedding is the only way they could pick up the 20% that they weren't able to vaccinate. They had to have a mechanism by which they could infect or infest that 20% with either all or part of the vaccine death protocol. So what we're doing now and what we have been doing is trying to fight to protect the 20% who haven't gotten vaxxed. That's what we're fighting to inform to the best of our ability, to give them the data that hopefully will allow them to make reasonable and presumptive conclusions about this, that it is dangerous, that they have to do things. Now, that's not to say we have not been working on behalf of the vaxxed. We have. We have warned them over and over again that they need to stay away from the unvaxxed because the unvaxxed are carrying all manner of normal pathogens. And in most cases, the vaxxed have AIDS or are headed strongly in that direction. No immune function. So what we hope to do is give enough information out there to arm the 20%, and we're dealing with gross round numbers here, 80-20. It could be 70-30, but we think it's 80-20, to enable them to survive to a substantial degree this perpetrated mass global genocide. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I, you know, when this shedding issue first was reported, I first heard about it probably March of last year. And I was alarmed, mostly because what I knew about the technology that people were being injected with, that it was synthetic, and the body is ill-prepared to deal with processing this type of synthetic biology. I mean, that's the crux of Morgellons. And we know how those people have suffered. You know, a lot of times you get this stuff into you, and it's hell on earth to try to get it out, if you can ever get it out. So I knew there was, you know, concern with that alone. And watching the reports roll in over the past year, I wouldn't say it's identical to Morgellons. Maybe in some cases it is. But people are absolutely suffering many of the same side effects as if they'd had the vax. They have bleeding issues, coagulation issues, neurological issues. You know, people have full-blown seizures. And now we're looking at cancer. So the technology is spreading. Now, are people, these bystanders who are unvaxxed, are they being genuinely transfected with this so that they are also producing a toxic protein? Or are they just suffering the effects of being exposed to the toxic protein? We don't know. But the protein is toxic enough that it kills dogs and cats. And in a few cases, it's apparently killed some people. I mean, one of the first reports I heard was a adult male who was living with his elderly mother, who had taken precautions with her throughout the pandemic to avoid making her sick with the virus. And then he went out the first chance he got and got the vaccine and began to interact with her again. And within a few days, she was sick and she died. So something fairly serious is being transmitted, and you know, it's no surprise that how else are they going to get to the people who refuse the vax? And what better way than to convince them that there's no such thing as viruses and there's no such thing as contagion? So that's the second part of the PSYOP.
Right. Okay. Well, the world is being played. The world is being played on a PSYOP string, and it's not a pretty sight. We have a couple of videos. I still don't have the Rose video. I have the Urso video.
I only sent the one.
Okay, I have the Ryan Cole video.
Good.
Okay, very good. Now, what we need to focus on here are several things. Neurological catastrophes are happening to people. Amyloidosis, amyloid clots, are happening to quite possibly everyone who's taken a valid, viable injection. Quite possibly. We're seeing people also who are just dropping dead. We're not getting any confirmation from morticians as to whether they're finding a completely amyloid clotted up artery somewhere or a vein, which causes the heart just to have nothing to pump and it shuts down. We're not seeing that. We're not hearing about that yet. So we don't know what's killing these people. But a lot of people are dropping over dead and dying unexpectedly in bed at night, asleep or whatever. Maybe they woke up and said, my God, I'm dying, and they were dead. It's hard to know. So what we have here is a situation that has so many different tentacles again. There are dozens of ways that this spike protein, LNP kill shot can kill. It's anti-life. Most recently, the opposition, we'll call them the government side, has begun to push again on the the graphene oxide, and this is the third incarnation of graphene oxide being deemed the number one enemy. Okay, I don't know where it's going to go next, but we've been through hydras. We've been through how many different things we've been through that were the number one enemies for a moment, or they tried to make them into enemy number one. They're not. Not
right.
Hydras. No. Graphene oxide. No, we don't buy it. I would lean in the direction of liquid nanoparticles as being probably more dangerous than graphene oxide.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that a stretch?
No. I mean, we know from the Moderna lipid nanoparticle known as SM-102, that's a class 1A carcinogen. It is skull and crossbones on the label.
See? Right there.
No one's talking about that.
And that's in every single shot, LNP. Okay?
Well, the Pfizer Moderna. Not the AstraZeneca, but the Pfizer Moderna.
Sorry, not the AZ. Okay, gotcha.
But that alone is enough to induce cancer. If you do it repeatedly, even once possibly, and now you're producing a protein that won't allow your DNA to repair itself, it's no wonder we're having an explosion of cancer.
What do you make of the anagram Omicron thing as opposed to the cancer-causing term that is clearly in it? You look at anagrams. What do you figure on that?
I don't know. I think it's possible. I mean, the spike protein all by itself could be considered an oncoprotein because it blocks the activity of P53, which is one of the main proteins, the signaling proteins that controls for cancer. It tells a cell when to commit apoptosis. And if it's dysregulated and the cell doesn't get the signal, you know, if it's a defective cell or a cancerous cell or a compromised cell, it won't die. And then it also interferes with the BRCA1 gene, which that particular gene or pathway is associated with breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and pancreatic cancer. So you could consider this spike protein all by itself a cancer-causing protein, an oncoprotein. And that's, you know, there are several viruses that are known to be oncogenic, meaning they can cause cancer because of the proteins they produce. These proteins interfere with the regulatory elements in your cells that control the cycle of the cell, when it is allowed to divide, when it should die.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a protein in there that's interfering with those critical pathways, you could very well be on your way to cancer.
Okay. Omicron, Oncomere. Oncomere is letter for letter found in Omicron, correct?
Right, yep.
Tell everyone what an Oncomere is.
An Oncomere is a small transcript, maybe 20 nucleotides of RNA.
RNA is
the code. It's a nucleic acid. It's the code. And well, in this case, it's non-coding. Normally, RNA would code for protein, but there's also non-coding RNA. And the only job of non-coding RNA in this case would be to block the expression of something. And oncomeres are associated with regulating genetic expression having to do with the cell cycle or cancer. So if you have these oncomeres being produced or circulating throughout the body, interfering with your cell's ability, your body's ability to surveil for cancer and then react accordingly, these oncomeres can interfere with that, for better or for worse.
Uh-huh.
And how do they break down? That's a good question. How do you select for the ones that you don't want and keep the ones that you do want? I don't think there's any way. That's why this is so chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't know. I'm going to go back to watching trucks and bulldozers and excavators for a while. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. I need to relax. You know, this is hilarious. I ran across this video. I don't know how. It was, this is an aside. I think it was in India, and they were doing an enormous landfill. I mean, we're talking several square miles of landfill, probably 40 feet tall, and dump trucks were coming and going like ants all the time, dumping enormous loads of rock, and bulldozers were pushing them further and further into the area that was being filled. And I couldn't believe it. I was mesmerized in it. Not that I hadn't seen trucks before, but when you look at the, I looked at the number of views, it was 7 million. 7 million. And I looked at another one, which I think I sent to you, and it was a similar kind of thing. It showed heavy equipment under duress or fallen over and being picked back up again. And there was a large excavator, and for some reason the guy thought he was pretty tough and he was going to walk it through. And it must have been 100 foot. He's 100 feet easy, a raging stream. And he got to the other side and he pushed himself up and out. And I looked at the number of views, 20 million. 20 million views of an excavator pulling itself out of a creek. Well, it was more than like a river. But anyway, I don't know. It's all, there's some fun stuff to watch out there, friends. So if you get depressed, look around. God.
Well, there's no shortage of entertainment.
Oh, you can get on those TikTok things and just push the button over and over and see some weird goings-on of one kind or another. All right, enough. Back to work. This situation we're in is horrific. I'm going to say that on the basis of what we have been able to present you and what we understand to be relatively real, given that social media is wide open to trolls and fakes, but the number of people in this one particular page that Erica monitors has gone from 40,000 to 500,000 in 3 weeks. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's over 275,000 now.
Oh, it's not a 500,000, quarter million. Okay, so, and these people are reporting sudden deaths, basically. Sudden deaths. And they also throw in other people in the family who have had horrific injuries, which have popped up months after they've gotten shots. So you never know when something might hit you, like death. You might just die. We're back to that again. And in China, they have vans now. Dick Allgaier sent me a couple pictures of them. They have vans that will drive around, and they're actually crematories on wheels. They just throw the body in the crematory, in the back, open the doors, throw the body in, close the big door, and light it up. Whoosh, gone. And I'm not sure if they give the ashes back to the people or not. They probably put them in fertilizer, like they're doing with human waste over here. Not to mention human bodies. So, look, the world has completely lost its equilibrium, if it ever really had it. I at least used to appear to have an equilibrium. I'm not sure if it does anymore at all. So, okay. We have a couple videos to play. What shall we play for you? You want to play Ryan Cole first?
Well, yeah, we did play that on Friday. It's a good one. His voice is getting a little stronger. I think if I had to guess, he's sick and tired of seeing what he's seeing in terms of the explosion of cancers now.
Massive.
You know, he's a pathologist, and yeah. his job is to analyze tissue biopsies, and he's having a banner year.
Especially in young women, which is, you know, always, all death is mournful.
It's really unfortunate what's happening with females. It's
well, let's put it another way. What's being done to females? Because I will repeat, and I will say this until I can't say anymore. This is a designed, created, tested, and deployed biological weapon that does only one thing. It kills human life and animal life as well. It's doing precisely what it was designed to do. It is a rip-roaring success as far as the Luciferian Satanists running this planet. And so people calling it, oh, it's an experimental thing. Wrong. It is a deployed bioweapon. And it is working magnificently. And if what we're reading on this particular site, which went from 40,000 to 250,000 in 3 weeks, is correct, I will say that social media page represents less than 1% of the people out there who have seen and are witnessing their loved ones die and co-workers and friends. It's a very tiny sampling, teeny, tiny, tiny, microscopic. I would suggest that it may be possible that we've had already 10 million dead in this country, and tens of thousands may be dying every single day. Cause of death? Heart failure, CJD, clot, whatever. We've been through this. There's so many, it's hard to keep them all straight. So that's an issue. I think we need to look toward prions and CJD as being even more pronounced. But above all, I think Erica was right so long ago when she said this is going to cause an outrageous epidemic of cancer. And so did Dr. Russell Blaylock. And I think we're beginning to see that unequivocally now. Cancer, cancer, cancer. Wild, unopposed cancer that no chemotherapy, no radiation can touch because the body has absolutely nothing left to fight it with on its own.
That's right.
All right, let's
play. I stand by that.
Hey, it's nice to have somebody standing with me. All right. Just a little humor. I like to hear Erica laugh. All right. Dr. Ryan Cole, on the cancer-generating ability of the spike protein. All right, hold on. Be nice if I turn the volume up. Okay.
The spike protein is a toxin. So doesn't matter whether it's J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, they all make your body make a spike protein.
Got that? For all of you newcomers out there, any of those so-called vaccines, their death weapons, their bioweapons, will cause your body, the one you grew up with, the one you take care of. So many people have died. Oh, he was in wonderful shape. She was in wonderful shape. And they're dead. So the shots, the kill shots, will make your body, whether you want it to or not, produce the spike protein. I'm going to let Dr. Cole say that again.
The spike protein is a toxin. So doesn't matter whether it's J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, they all make your body make a spike protein. That spike protein binds to a tumor suppressor gene family, P53. It also binds to the breast cancer gene, BRCA, and the ovarian cancer gene, BRCA. We know
it targets your cancer defenses. Understand? When it suppresses a P53, you lose one of your big three or four anti-tumor agents that your body builds to help protect you.
That spike protein can induce cancer pathways, period. It's happening. Cancers are on the increase across the board. Lymphomas, leukemias, blood cancers, because that spike goes to the bone marrow. The lipid nanoparticle carries the mRNA to your dividing stem cells.
Ah, LNP, the lipid nanoparticle. Funny how Ryan Cole, Dr. Cole, didn't say graphene oxide in there, did he?
No.
It doesn't stay in the arm. It can go into any cell in your body, and it turns that cell into a spike factory. It inhibits the ability for your DNA to repair itself. It binds to Our mitochondria destroys the energy of our brain cells, destroys the energy of our liver cells, destroys the energy of any cell it gets into. Your own immune system attacks those cells. So a lot of people have arthritic pain, muscle pain. It's because those cells are being attacked by your own immune system because they're expressing this foreign spike protein. That spike protein causes mechanisms of cancer in many people. And I've been seeing that in the lab. I've been having it confirmed by oncologists, radiologists, radiation oncologists, pathologists all around the world as I travel. It is happening. It's on the uptick. Our military database showed it until our Department of Defense illegally froze that database and hid the data. This is a crime against humanity. We're using a dangerous product on humanity that is harming the human cells, that is harming the human body, that is harming our hormones, that is harming our reproductive organs, that is harming any organ where that protein lands, period.
He just can't quite say it, but I understand. I'll say it for him. We'll say it for him. Ryan, it's doing exactly what it was designed to do. It is killing humanity. It is a bioweapon. It's not a misused or malfunctioning vaccine or helping aid in any way. It is a killer. End of story.
Yeah. I mean, come on. If this was a legitimate vaccine designed to legitimately protect people, it would have been pulled from the market, what was it, mid-January of 2021? They had enough deaths, 50-something deaths at that point in the U.S. To justify taking it off the market. And yet... here we are, you know, almost 2 years later, 18 months later.
And they've got the new booster out. I wonder if they're going to have a fall campaign. They will. They'll say, oh, we've got coronavirus popping up everywhere now, and get that booster. You've gotten all your other shots, so get your booster.
Already heard advertisements on the radio for them, at least here locally.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I was right. And they'll see, they won't tell you that. And if you ask the people giving you the death injections, well, how many spike protein types are in this? They won't tell you. They don't know that there's a new spike protein in the Omicron portion of the bivalent double booster. They won't tell you. We have no idea what that other spike protein was coded to do, created
no,
to
don't.
Do, not a clue. And my God, the Wuhan version of this, even though Wuhan is gone, relatively speaking, it's
bad
enough.
No, that was the amyloidogenic sequences in it that caused the amyloid clots and then the prions. Prion seeds.
Everyone who has gotten a real shot is developing amyloidosis in their bodies. Usually microclotting leading to amyloid clots of a larger scale. And it's just a matter of time. And they have all of these neurosurgeons and vascular surgeons who are looking at these situations and saying they don't understand it, they don't understand it. In Southern California, I'm told, there are only about 6 practicing vascular surgeons in Southern California. 6. Do you know how many people are throwing blood clots now that are being misdiagnosed as blood clots when in point of fact they're amyloid clots? And there's no test to show you've got an amyloid clot. There's nothing you can do to dissolve the amyloid clot. And these vascular surgeons, they're booked 27 hours a day to go in and try to remove these life-threatening amyloid clots. And they're too afraid to even say anything about these rubber bands. They're not blood clots. You're being rubberized, as Erica said long ago. your veins, your whole circulatory system. So these vascular surgeons are seeing things that they never saw in medical school. Go ahead.
We should play that little 1 minute clip again at some point, the little video there that describes amyloidosis, because it isn't just happening in the blood. That's the first target. But wherever the spike protein is being expressed, whatever organs and tissues that took up the mRNA and are now producing spike protein, that process can happen in those tissues. The heart, the liver, the kidneys, the brain, the gastrointestinal tract, all of those organs are known to uptake these lipid nanoparticles or the adenoviral vector, and they can begin to produce spike protein, which once it is cleaved, it has the potential to cause whatever nearby proteins are there to misfold and begin to aggregate and become essentially insoluble, and they will not degrade. The body is overwhelmed with the amount and the number of them and the speed at which it's happening, that it very quickly overwhelms the natural pathways that the body would use to degrade them.
Right.
So that's why I believe in these amyloidosis groups, we're getting a lot of people in these groups of younger age. I mean, that amyloidosis is typically an older person's disease, I would say 65 and above. Because it's a function of aging that you don't clear out your misfolded proteins and they can accumulate. But now we're getting people in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. What is the name of that video? Can you remember it? I'll find it.
I think it was just titled Amyloidosis. It was a YouTube video, about a minute long, maybe 2 minutes.
We had
but it was a nice visual that shows how, I mean, it's almost a form of scar tissue.
Yes. I remember.
And they just get in between the cells and clog the function of these cells so that they don't operate properly. I mean, if you get enough of them accumulating in an organ, that organ will eventually fail.
Oh, and I wanted to say one other thing. These people who are now pushing graphene oxide as the ultimate demon in this horror are the same kind of people that buy into the flat earth and that graphene oxide is the only component in these shots and it's causing all the trouble. They don't know. I'm not going to knock them. They don't have any knowledge. They don't understand.
You know, I think it was seeded in the fact that very few people had even heard of graphene or graphene oxide when this all came about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, it right prior to that, the fixation was on the iron, the spions in particular.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
I think people were onto something. I mean, this spike protein is known to dysregulate iron.
I finally found something.
Go ahead.
In the body, and you know, we've gone over this repeatedly. When iron is dysregulated, there are all kinds of problems that ensue. Not the least of which is severe oxidative stress, inflammation, muscle pain, joint pain, heart problems, hormonal issues. All of that can be caused by having iron in the wrong place, too much of it, not enough of it. And then if you don't have it in the right place at the right time, you become hypoxic. So your tissues are starved of oxygen, and you know, that's another set of problems. Right. And then, you know, of course, iron is magnetic. And I, you know, whatever this magnetism phenomenon is that people are experiencing, it is for sure something to do with iron, not graphene. Graphene is not magnetic.
No. Nope. Okay. We can go URSO. I found the amyloidosis video. It's 250.
Okay.
Why don't
we go with the URSO? This is fairly new this week. This was at the World what was it, World Council? It was a meeting. I'm drawing a blank on the name.
mRNA. He says simply, the lipid nanoparticle, the LNP, which nobody bothers to talk about, mRNA platform is horrible. Okay? This is from a doctor. I'll pull up another window here and I'll open it right up just a second. Okay, here, I don't know the name of the conference either, but here we go. This is Dr. Urso.
The lipid nanoparticle messenger RNA platform is horrible. It doesn't matter what it is, it's horrible.
Got it? Messenger RNA platform, the lipid nanoparticle, is horrible.
It cannot be controlled. There are people here, including myself, who work with lipid nanoparticles. We were using chemotherapy to carry chemo to the brain. It's pretty good at getting to the brain. Unfortunately, we were wiping out the bone marrow, the adrenals, the ovaries, and other organs. And so we decided this is not a good strategy. And so it's basically one of the major reasons why any lipid nanoparticle platform with a foreign protein is going to be a problem, because this foreign protein is going to be in places it's a respiratory virus doesn't go. In this case, do respiratory viruses go in your brain, your bone marrow, your adrenals, your ovaries? No, they don't. That's not what they do.
And that little particle is?
Does less than 1% get into those tissues? Probably, but it's a very small amount. But the vaccine gets there and there in fairly large amounts, and this is a bad, bad strategy as we move forward.
It's not a strategy. It's a deployed weapon, a deployed biological weapon of world genocide. I'm just helping him out a little.
You see that the wonderful thing they did with this product was trying to get it to be to get into cells and be undetected by the immune system. And that's the pseudouridine component. And that has made the attainment of being able to say how much is each person being producing, we don't know. You may be producing 100 times more than I'm producing. So we have a biodistribution of everywhere. We have a pharmacokinetics where we don't know how much you're making, and we're saying it's safe and effective. How is that possible? Actually makes no sense. There's no way. I don't mind saying it. There's no way they're going to ever make a product that's safe and effective when you can't control the distribution and you can't control the production. And until they get to that, they should never go forward with any of these products, if you can't even do that.
Well, very nice, very nice, but he's a year and a half late, but at least he's saying it. He didn't mention spike protein, but he did talk about the LNP. This is all really horrific. It's doing what it's supposed to do. No one should be surprised by this if they had the data.
No, this is like watching a movie where you already know the end.
Well said. Yeah, exactly. And we do know the end. Okay. We should... You've collected a few more. I can play this. I found it. I can play it next time. Shall I play the...
Yeah, let's do some readers.
Okay. We are ready. Okay, November 19th, September 19th. All right. Reader number... you start where you'd like. Go ahead. You put them up there, so... Died suddenly. Doomed. Nurse. Shedding. Burning. Shedding. Stinging. Shedding. Singing. Stinging, shedding, smells. Okay, we've talked about that, remember? VOCs. And we put up the post with all those other diseases and how they can generate smells. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll start with smells. Going on to other weird things being done to us, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I noticed an awful smell in our metro trains. First time, I thought they perhaps hadn't cleaned up after a human accident, someone being sick to their stomach, say. But I then found this smell in all the trains. The train runs are short, and I don't feel any ill effects, nothing I can detect anyway. But 2 days ago, I realized to my horror, they must be pumping some sort of disinfectant into the air. Only explanation for the never-ending, consistent smell. I just don't know what to do about it. It's not like most politicians care about us. Really wouldn't be surprised if they were pumping in other bad stuff, too, along with the sterilizer disinfectant stuff. I learned to my cost over 40 years ago that the only thing allopathic medicine is good for is fixing things that are broken. If I were in an accident and my spleen or something were hanging out, then yes, please, take me by ambulance to a hospital. Everything else is just interference and tampering. Confirmed at a holistic health center 12 years ago. Have any of you noticed new weird smells in public places now?
I think there's an argument to be made that everyone who's been shot up after a certain period of time will fall into a category of beginning to manifest putrescence as part of this aroma panorama. Part, not all. Could be from the spike protein causing... Go ahead.
I just want to say that I've heard in Germany, in some of these smaller shops, there's actually a sign on the door asking people that if it's crowded to wait outside for a bit, and it's primarily because of the stench.
Wow. So, okay, we're back again to that, and we did spend a lot of time on it, VOCs. These are organic compounds being given off by the body, caused by maybe molecules created by bacteria that are beginning to consume the body slowly because the body's dying.
Well, I wonder if
whatever.
In some of these public places, like the trains, if they are feeling compelled to use extra sanitizer or disinfectant at the end of the day, maybe? Or
could
in between
be.
Routes?
They'd be spraying airliners the same way. They do. They spray them. Okay, here's another one. It's crazy. My left eye starts twitching and my right ear starts tingling and burning. I dropped my car off for service recently and they gave me a loaner. As soon as I sat in it, I smelled the vaccine and my hands began burning. Couldn't even drive the car. And then... there are some people who feel nothing. Why is that? I can smell them and know immediately that they took the shot. Answer to that, I think you must be healthy to recognize shedding. So there you go.
Well, I would say that they've been sensitized. They've been sensitized to the protein. As for the burning sensations, I would say that... you know, it is neurotoxic.
Okay, here's...
so their nerves...
Good. Here's another one. I don't want to run out of time. This is important because our media is not telling... our media, Jesus. Our media is not telling us anything about the rest of the world. You don't hear anything from CNBC or and any of them about the rest of the world. This is helpful. Is there anyone here who's not jabbed and feels stinging all over their skin from jabbed people? I can't be the only one. It's awful. I can't touch or touch anything they have touched. If I do, I get burning and stinging on my skin, which could be a precursor to zoster. We don't know. I don't get that. Here's a response. I don't get that kind of symptom, but I do get flu symptoms from them, sore throat and fatigue after being in enclosed space with them, i.e. the vaxxed. Another answer. Yes, we are in South Africa, and it also starts at certain times of the day. It's related to kinetic energy, so static generating bedding clothes, etc., make the problem worse. That I don't honestly understand. take off all items of clothing immediately and put them straight into the washing machine, 3 parts water, 1 part hydrogen peroxide, wipe down the whole body with a disposable cloth, wring out the cloth into the solution before moving onto the next body area. Lastly, wipe hair very lightly, take silica tissue salt, number 12. So, I don't know. The point is South Africa. We don't hear anything about South Africa and people dying, people struggling with the same things we're struggling with here.
Yep.
Same things. All right, there's one more shedding here, stinging. Go ahead and grab that.
My husband and my son say they feel like they are being bitten by little bugs when exposed to people or packages or items recently touched by the jab. Another says, I get that too. It feels like fire ants biting me or things crawling on or under my skin. St. John's wort can help with weird neuropathy like this. And last one, me too. None of us are vaxxed, and when I have my daughter lying next to me, I have a similar experience. Sores develop at times too. Dandelion helps. Wash the bedding often.
Okay, again, just a few little tiny samples of shedding there for you. I hope you'll go back and listen to the earlier programs and share them, send them far and wide, because there's no other platform out there that we have ever heard or heard of that covers things the way we do. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm saying no one else is going to tell it straight as we can conceive, and do the work that is necessary to try to connect dots and give things to all of you that are more helpful. They're tools, like tools in a toolbox. They're not going to tell us. We have to create the tools and actually fill our own toolbox, which is what we're doing. Okay, anything you want to add?
No, that's it.
Well, go have a bowl of ice cream.
Too late. Tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, my dear. Good job.
Okay, Jeff.
As
my
always.
Pleasure.
All right.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Okay. We'll be back with hour number 3, and the rampaging Dick Allgaier is with us from Hawaii next hour, so stay tuned for that. Lots ahead. Glad you're on board tonight, and we're already learning a lot. Back in a minute. Hold on.